You know, it's a City of Columbus ordinance that makes sexual orientation a protected class, and we want to force the Diocese of Columbus to uphold that.
Jason Collins has become the first openly gay athlete in pro sports.
You just try to live an honest, genuine life, and next thing you know, you have the president calling you.
Folks, this is my worst sports nightmare. I just hope homosexuals don't get their hands on any other of my favorite sports, like figure skating or women's golf.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Two more Brazilian states declare marriage equality, a fired Ohio lesbian aims to teach her diocese a lesson, and a pro athlete's outing wins championship coverage. Those stories and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 4th, 2013. Santa Catarina and Paraíba have become the 13th and 14th states in Brazil to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples. Rio de Janeiro and Rondônia became the 11th and 12th states last month. The country's Supreme Federal Court ruled in May 2011 that gay and lesbian couples had the right to enter into civil unions, although that status doesn't provide many of the rights of civil marriage. A month later, couples in those unions were allowed to petition state judges to convert them to marriages. A judge in Sao Paulo, Brazil's most populous state, ruled last year that same-gender couples did not need court approval of their civil unions to be considered legally married there. According to the U.S. group Freedom to Marry, nearly 3 in 5 Brazilians are now able to directly wed their same-gender partners without a judge's approval.
But members of Northern Ireland's Legislative Assembly voted 53-42 this week against a marriage equality proposal. A similar effort failed by a wider margin in October. Leaders of Northern Ireland's Presbyterian and Roman Catholic churches have expressed strong opposition to the move. Sinn Féin Assemblymember Bronwyn McGahan, whose party introduced the measure, argued that what churches do is a matter for churches, but the state needs to treat everyone with equality. Finance Minister Sammy Wilson of the governing Democratic Unionist Party, however, warned that allowing same-gender couples to tie the knot could lead to 3 or more people wanting to get married. This is not an issue of equality, he insisted. It is an issue of redefining marriage as it has always been understood. The failed Legislative Assembly vote comes on the heels of 79% majority approval of a resolution to open civil marriage to same-gender couples at last month's Irish Constitutional Convention. Patrick Corrigan, Amnesty International's Northern Ireland Program Director, told Gay Star News that marriage equality appears to be on the horizon in other parts of the UK, and that if Northern Ireland lawmakers fail to act, there could be a straightforward legal challenge on the basis of inferior treatment of same-sex couples in Northern Ireland with regards to the right to marry and found a family.
Despite its ties to New Zealand, which became the first nation in the Asia-Pacific region to open civil marriage to same-gender couples last month, the Prime Minister of the Cook Islands, Henry Puna, told Radio New Zealand International this week that Christian values and tradition prevent his government from following suit. The Cook Islands is a self-governing nation of more than 15 major islands and 20,000 people in free association with New Zealand. Its citizens enjoy New Zealand citizenship. But the Cook Islands Crimes Act 1969 punishes consensual sex between men with up to 7 years in prison. And the Marriage Amendment Act 2000 defines marriage as exclusively heterosexual.
The Fafafine, a third-gender culture native to the former New Zealand colony of Samoa, celebrated their literal legality this week. The Crimes Act 2012, which came into force on May 1st, replaced the Crimes Ordinance 1961, which criminalized the impersonation of a female by any male in Samoa. Samoa Fafafine Association President Roger Stanley issued a call to all Fafafine of Samoa and Fafafine of Samoan descent living overseas. Come, let's celebrate. You are now legally allowed to dress and act like a lady if it is your choice, and you will not be fined or imprisoned for your choices ever. Formerly known as Western Samoa, Samoa became independent from New Zealand in 1962. Nearly 200,000 people were counted in Samoa's 2012 census. Asked about following New Zealand's path to marriage equality, Stanley told Gay Star News that, We are happily living in harmony here in Samoa, so we just don't want to stir things up.
The situation for LGBT people in Vietnam has been positively stirred up in recent weeks. Radio Australia cited local media reports in early April that the nation's deputy health minister had recommended opening civil marriage to same-gender couples during a speech reviewing marriage and family law. Nguyen Van Thien cited research on discrimination and said that lesbian and gay couples should have the same rights as everyone else to love, be loved, and get married. The Ministry of Justice also signaled support for such a move when it opened a consultation on marriage equality last July.
Meanwhile, Vietnam's first gay sitcom has become a YouTube sensation. My Best Gay Friends follows the misadventures of three perpetually broke 20-somethings sharing an apartment in southern Ho Chi Minh City. Most of the sitcom's characters are LGBT. The first installment of the low-budget series recently passed the 1 million views mark. 8 other completed episodes out of a planned 15 are quickly gathering hits. Its openly gay creator and star, Hun Nguyen Dang Coa, told Agence France-Presse that the show's overwhelming popularity has taken him by surprise. I thought it would only interest Vietnam's gay community, he said, but we're hearing that parents, grandparents, whole families watch and love the shows and long for new episodes. Coa said there were no plans to broadcast the series on television, however, as its subject matter was rather sensitive and wouldn't attract network or advertiser support. While homosexual acts are not illegal, they've long been an unspoken taboo in Vietnam, where conservative social mores, with their emphasis on tradition and family, still dominate. But there have been even more signs of progress for LGBT people in the Southeast Asian nation. Vietnam's first ever Pride Parade was held last August.
About 12,000 people proudly joined a parade on April 28th to kick off Tokyo Rainbow Week, as marchers invaded the streets of the capital city's upscale Harajuku shopping district. The celebration continued with performances on a stage at what was called Pride Village in Yoyogi Park, one of Tokyo's largest parks, which housed athletes during the 1964 Summer Olympics. Several vendors offered food, drink, and other products. According to On Top magazine, event sponsors included Barclays, Goldman Sachs, Google, IBM, Philips, and UBS. Tokyo's annual Pride Parade is held in August, but organizer Shinya Yamagata said he'd worked on various Pride events over the past 10 years and that Tokyo needed a new Pride Parade in the spring. So I started this one. Agence France-Presse said that more than 20 Rainbow Week events were scheduled through May 6th. Hiroko Masuhara was also one of the organizers. A picture of her with her partner and fellow activist, Koyuki Higashi, in bridal attire at a wedding ceremony at the Tokyo Disney Resort with Mickey and Minnie Mouse looking on, went viral in March and was reportedly retweeted more than 6,000 times. Their ceremony offered no legal standing, however, because Japan doesn't allow same-gender couples to marry.
Marriage equality has been the still contentious law of the land in the U.S. state of Iowa since a unanimous Supreme Court ruling ordered it in 2009. The state high court issued a unanimous ruling this week to have both parents listed on the birth certificates of their newborn children. The decision stems from a lawsuit brought by Melissa and Heather Gardner after the state refused in 2009 to list both of their names on the birth certificate of their daughter, Mackenzie. Heather had given birth to the baby conceived via sperm donor. Assistant Iowa Attorney General Heather Adams argued that it is a biological impossibility for a woman to ever legally establish paternity of a child. But the high court said it was about more than biology. It is important for our laws to recognize that married lesbian couples who have children enjoy the same benefits and burdens as married opposite-sex couples who have children, the opinion said. The only explanation for not listing the non-birthing lesbian spouse on the birth certificate is stereotype or prejudice.
The U.S. State Department reversed itself this week and issued a visa to the daughter of Cuban leader Raul Castro to get an Ally Award from Philadelphia's Equality Forum for her work on behalf of LGBT rights. Mariela Castro, the director of Cuba's National Center for Sex Education, was already in the U.S. attending U.N. meetings in New York. But Cuban diplomats are prevented from traveling more than 25 miles from the U.N. without permission. Reports of the denial prompted both outraged community reaction last week and, apparently, the State Department decision to allow Castro to accept her award in person.
And finally, Iceland's Jóhanna Sigurðardóttir, the first openly LGBT person to head a national government, officially retired from politics this week. She was a flight attendant and union organizer before being elected to parliament in 1978. She served in various cabinet positions before becoming prime minister in 2009. Sigurdardottir announced last year that she would not seek another term in the spring election, saying that it was time to end her long and eventful political career. Her party, the Social Democrats, finished third in that vote on April 27th, behind two more conservative parties, which will now form a coalition government. The now 71-year-old Sigurdardottir has received mixed reviews of her efforts to revive an economy that was in crisis when she assumed the reins of power. But a year into her tenure as prime minister, Iceland passed a marriage equality law. She and her partner were one of the first couples to take advantage of it. Having an openly gay or lesbian national leader, even in a small country like Iceland, sends a clear message to everyone, wherever they live, wrote a blogger at gayice.is. If we can do it, you can too.
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 4th, 2013. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep This Way Out on the air at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Michelle Marie Gilgeson.
And I'm Rick Watts.
0 5 0 9 0
On May the 9th, hundreds of U.S. LGBT nonprofit organizations stand to benefit during Give Out Day, a 24-hour online donor mobilization campaign. Give Out Day aims to raise awareness about the needs of queer nonprofits and to elevate the level of LGBT philanthropy. Find out more between now and May 9th at giveoutday.org. And please note that Overnight Productions, the nonprofit that brings you This Way Out, is a participating group.
34-year-old black U.S. pro basketball player Jason Collins makes history later in the program. A Roman Catholic high school teacher is caught in a conflict between anti-discrimination protections for LGBT people and the religious freedom protestations of conservative faith-based organizations. But lesbian Carla Hale and her allies are fighting back. The Columbus, Ohio physical education teacher returned from bereavement leave following her mother's death, only to be fired because an anonymous parent had complained that Hale's partner was named in the obituary. Evan Davis at WCRS in Columbus filed this report for Free Speech Radio News.
Carla Hale taught physical education at Bishop Watterson Catholic High School for nearly 20 years. Supporters say she was admired by students and faculty. In February, Hale's mother passed away, and she included the name of her partner, Julie Unkefer, in the obituary. A few weeks later, after school officials received an anonymous letter complaining about Hale's sexual orientation, the diocese fired her. An online petition demanding her reinstatement caught the attention of Watterson alum Amanda Finelli, who began organizing fellow alumni to respond.
When I found the petition online, I said something has to be done. Something has to be organized. So I set up the Facebook group, and within overnight, we grew to about 600 people. And it has been an absolute whirlwind ever since then. So those were primarily Watterson alumni who came forward. And now we are organized under the banner of Hailstorm Ohio.
Finelli's group is demanding reinstatement for Carla Hale, but they don't plan to stop there.
First, we want Ms. Hale reinstated. Second of all, we want to force the diocese to revise their employment policies. You know, it's a City of Columbus ordinance that makes, you know, sexual orientation a protected class, and we want to force the Diocese of Columbus to uphold that.
Attorney Thomas Tootle is now representing Hale.
There's no room for question here. It is completely transparent and unapologetic. She was terminated because she's gay.
But that, according to Tootle, is illegal under a Columbus Municipal Code, which prevents discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. According to Hale's termination notice, her relationship constituted a breach of contract. But at the heart of the issue, Tootle says, is whether an employer or contract may be exempt from the law simply because of religion.
If Carla worked for Kroger or Walmart, I don't think that there would be any question here but that the municipal ordinance would avail her the right to reinstatement. What makes this case unique is that this is the Catholic Church, and there is in Constitution a separation of church and state. That's, you know, something that we don't take lightly. However, where do you draw the line? The Catholic Church employs a whole lot of people.
Tootle and Hale are now engaged in a four-step appeals process with the diocese that may lead to arbitration through Hale's union, the Central Ohio Association of Catholic Educators. But they may also explore a civil suit, which, if successful, Tootle says, may set national precedent strengthening anti-discrimination statutes across the country. Meanwhile, Finelli's HailStormOhio.org movement is attracting support from the broader community. Glenn Skeen is the president of the local chapter of the Communication Workers of America and chair of the union's GLBT rights advocacy group, Pride in the Workplace.
A lot of our members are very upset, and many of them are Catholic, about the treatment of Carla Hale and the horrible situation she finds herself in right now. I believe that Ms. Hale is fighting a very good fight, and we're going to be there with her.
Several dozen current students at Watterson staged a peaceful picket, and Hailstorm Ohio plans to appeal to Catholic diocese donors and ask them to withhold until it implements non-discrimination policies. Evan Davis, FSRN, Columbus.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
Heard the sound of another glass ceiling breaking last week when the National Basketball Association's Jason Collins became America's first male pro athlete to publicly come out during his career. The fanfare surrounding Collins' revealing essay in Sports Illustrated reached from the basketball courts to the nation's capital. ABC's George Stephanopoulos scored the first exclusive broadcast interview with Collins the day after his announcement.
You always knew you were gay?
Yeah, it's. I sort of describe it as you know that the sky is blue, but you keep telling yourself that it's red.
So you fought it?
Yes, in the beginning. I think they call it like the 12 steps. You know, you go through anger, denial, and all, you know, it's just. But when you finally get to that point of acceptance, there's nothing more beautiful. And just allowing yourself to, you know, really be happy and be comfortable in your own skin.
So you send this thunderbolt out into the world.
Yeah.
12 hours later, how does it feel?
It's incredible. You just try to live an honest, genuine life, and next thing you know, you have the president calling you.
And, what did he say?
He was incredibly supportive, and he was proud of me and said that this not only affected my life, but others going forward.
I'll say something about Jason Collins. I had a chance to talk to him yesterday. He seems like a terrific young man. And, I told him I couldn't be prouder. One of the extraordinary measures of progress that we've seen in this country has been the recognition that the LGBT community deserves full equality, not just partial equality, not just tolerance, but a recognition that they're fully a part of the American family. And, you know, given the importance of sports in our society, for an individual who's excelled at the highest levels in one of the major sports to go ahead and say, this is who I am. I'm proud of it. I'm still a great competitor. I'm still 7 foot tall and can bang with Shaq and you know, deliver a hard foul and you know, for I think a lot of young people out there who are you know, gay or lesbian, who are struggling with these issues, to see a role model like that who's unafraid, I think it's a great thing. And I think America should be proud of that this is just one more step in this ongoing recognition that we treat everybody fairly. And everybody's part of a family. And we judge people on the basis of their character and their performance and not their sexual orientation. So I'm very proud of him.
Martina Navratilova said this is going to save some kids' lives.
I look at her as one of my heroes. The dignity and the class that she's lived her life and all that she's achieved in her career. She is my role model. Hopefully, going forward, I can be someone else's role model.
What do you say to the 12-year-old boy who's out there practicing right now, wants to be a pro ball player, and happens to be gay?
It doesn't matter that you're gay, but the key thing is that it's about basketball. It's about working hard. It's about sacrificing for your team. It's all about dedication, and that's what you should focus on.
One of the things you write is that actually loyalty to your teammates is one of the things that held you back from making this announcement.
You don't want to be that distraction, because for me it's always been about the team. But I know that in my personal life I'm ready, and I think the country is ready for supporting an openly gay basketball player.
And can you believe it hasn't happened before you?
That's kind of mind-boggling. I never set out to be the first, and it's, you're sort of waiting around for somebody else to, raise their hand, and, I'm ready to raise my hand, but, you still look around like, okay, come on, guys.
Phil Jackson says he's never met a gay player in the NBA. Have you?
Not that I know of. I don't know of any other gay players in the NBA.
Kobe Bryant tweeted that he was proud of you today, too.
That was incredible. All the support has been overwhelming.
As Collins kept his secret, he sent a small signal of unity to the gay community, choosing to wear the number 98 on his jersey to honor Matthew Shepard, the gay teenager from Wyoming who was kidnapped and killed in a brutal hate crime in 1998.
Each time I put on jersey 98, this past season, I was already sort of having that moment with myself, with my family, with my friends who knew the significance of why I picked that number.
Jersey 98 for Matthew Shepard.
Jersey 98 for Matthew Shepard. That's why I wore jersey 98. So, and also to mess with the refs, because I do have a tendency to foul a lot. But the primary reason was, every time I put on that jersey, I was already making that statement to myself.
You do foul a lot. You're a hard player.
Yes. I bring that physical toughness, that physical attitude. It's part of the game.
And as you write, it goes against the gay stereotype.
That gay stereotype that, I think that people like me are trying to rewrite. People like me are trying to rewrite that stereotype, and trying to let people know that you can't just put people in a box.
Now out, NBA player Jason Collins was interviewed by ABC-TV's George Stephanopoulos. Arizat's news commentator Stephen Colbert satirically lamented the growing acceptance of out gay people in professional sports on his Comedy Central Colbert Report.
Nation, the day I have long warned you about has finally arrived. Not the one where my death ray is completed. That is still 6 months out, and you are warned. No, it is a different day. And I warned you about it.
Jason Collins has become the first openly gay athlete in pro sports. Collins is with the Washington Wizards.
Collins is the first active professional athlete in any of the four major sports to make that announcement while still a player.
Collins says, I'm a 34-year-old NBA center. I'm black and I'm gay.
That's right. He came out as black and gay. Even more shocking, he came out as a player for the Washington Wizards. You gotta wonder how his parents took it. Folks, this is my worst sports nightmare. I knew once we allowed Major League Soccer, it would turn all the other sports gay. And now that it's possible that a pro athlete could be gay, how can I relate to them? Suddenly, it's like a 7-foot-tall world-class athlete and I have nothing in common. Now, when I hoop it up with my basket bros, I can't use expressions like take it to the hole or jamming the rim. The point is, gay sports do not make any sense, just like gay marriage doesn't make any sense. Because marriage is for making babies, and so is basketball. Just ask the thousands of Wilt Chamberlain's children. I mean, the whole game is a metaphor for procreation. The ball is the sperm. The hoop is the egg. And the shot clock is her ovulation cycle. Fellas, that's why you always want to get off your shot in the first 24 seconds. I just hope homosexuals don't get their hands on any other of my favorite sports, like figure skating or women's golf. And Nation, you know, it's not just sports. Look around. We're living in the final days of straight America. Gays are serving openly in our military, and the Supreme Court could very well overturn DOMA. And just this morning, my shower head broke, forcing me to take a delightful bubble bath. Coincidence? No. Lavender. And America's not alone, folks. The gay rights bandwagon is sweeping the globe.
New Zealand became the 13th country in the world today to legalize same-sex marriage.
Great. New Zealand's got same-sex marriage. Now, nine guys camping in the woods obsessed with jewelry seems kind of gay. And I am not the only one who is upset.
You can caricature Christian teaching and call it bigotry, and that's reasonable speech on the left these days.
If you support traditional marriage, you're a bigot.
If I say I support traditional marriage, I'm automatically called a bigot. I'm called a homophobe.
Yes, they're calling us hateful names like bigot and homophobe when we're just helpfully pointing out that they are deviant abominations who are going to hell. There's no need to get personal. And denying gay marriage is at the heart of my faith, folks. Now, sure, Jesus never mentioned homosexuality in the New Testament, but that just shows how much he disapproved of it. He was giving the gays the old silent treatment.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Michelle Marie Gilkison, and Lucia Chappelle contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride and to Evan Davis and Free Speech Radio News. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by the Ivana Foundation and by listener contributions. Thank you. Don't forget to look up Overnight Productions when you participate in the donor campaign at giveoutday.org on May 9th. You'll find more information about us at thiswayout.org, including links to our podcasts, blog, and Facebook page. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on CFXI, Antigonish, Nova Scotia, WRFN, Nashville, Tennessee, 2BAY, Byron Bay, New South Wales, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!